Thank you, Brother Travis, for leading our singing today. All of you that participated with us in bringing our service, if you haven't already gotten something from what has been said, surely you were asleep during that time, and this is usually the time you sleep. So maybe that means you're going to pay attention here. I'm just funning with you. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Oh, isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. And the whole congregation said, amen. Ephesians 3:20 and 21 are verses. Well, thanks for all those good lead-ins, Bobby and Chris, and several of you that have made some statements already that I think are encouraging statements for us. It is sometimes hard for us to keep our focus. And remember, just last week I said to you, no offense, Chris, but if you have slacked off on your resolution, what are you going to do today? Well, if you can't do it today, what are you going to do tomorrow? You're going to pick it up, aren't you? Because each day is a new day in Jesus Christ. And it just doesn't matter what happened yesterday. The only thing that matters is what you're going to do today. So don't be defeated by those kinds of things. Sometimes we put limitations on ourselves, and that's good. We try to inspire ourselves by telling us we need to do this or we do that. But just because we don't live up to it doesn't mean we can't stay with the program. So stay with it. Everybody says being preachers. Well, I wouldn't be a preacher for anything. I don't know how you could do it. All you got to do is show up. Oh, really? They're not really expecting much from me. In fact, they're really expecting give us about this much, preacher. Okay, that's really all they want from me. But the idea is to be there. And that's really what life is about, isn't it, folks? Come on now, wake up a little bit, and I'll make this shorter. Okay? Look, people need to be encouraged. Every beginning of the year, if you pay any attention to what goes on in our political realm, you know that we always have the president comes and gives us the State of the Union address. Well, this is my state of the congregation. Really, church is probably the wrong way to say it. Since the church is universal, it goes everywhere. I'm talking about us. And the church everywhere is doing well, as a matter of fact. All you need to do is check in on what's happening in the stories that are happening all around the world about so many different things. But my main purpose today is to just share with you not only what God teaches us about the church. That gives me the opportunity to remind us of who we are and what we're supposed to be about, what we ought to do. What is the church? We'll talk about that a little bit. And then also for me to, just sort of say to you about a number of different things that go on in our congregation that affects our community as well as affect you. Hopefully, it'll affect you if you'll get involved with it. You just need to better understand about why Jesus came. That was really a great devotional, Chris. I don't know how Jesus stayed on track like he did. I really can't get my mind completely wrapped around the idea of the why. There are just so many questions about it. And it's always been on the heart of mankind because they write poems about it. They write songs about it. Why did my Savior come to earth? Sing with me. And to the humble. people go. Why did he choose a lowly birth? Because he loved me so. 382 is the number. He loved me so. He loved He gave His precious life for me and you because He loved me so. Why did He drink the bitter cup of sorrow, pain, and woe? Why on the cross be lifted up? Because He loved me so. He loved me so. He loved He gave His precious life for me, because He loved me so. Pick it up a little. Till Jesus comes, I'll sing His praise, and then to glory go. And reign with Him through endless days, because He loved me so. He loved me so. He loved me so. He gave His precious life for me, because He loved me so. That's the answer, isn't it? It really is. That really is the answer. It may be too simplified for us, but He loved us. He loved us beyond our own imagination to think of how He could love us so. How could He do such a thing? But He did. That's His claim. That's what He says to us. And He said it, therefore I believe it. Therefore it is. Now, in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, I'm not using a scripture that you're not well aware of, but I use it because of the familiarity. And this is a little different version here. This is actually what is known as the International English Bible Version, and it was actually translated by many of our fellow brethren. Hugo McCord headed up the group that did so. So it's going to read maybe a little different than your particular version. You may not have this one in your electronic one, but you'll get the drift. And the reason I'm reading from it is because I think it is probably more accurate to the actual Greek language than most of the other versions. Many of them leave us kind of with some questions, but this one is pretty pointed. When Jesus came to the area of Caesarea Philippi, He began to ask His followers, "Who do people say I am?" Okay, now hang on just a second. There's a little side issue. He had sent them out, and they've been preaching and teaching and doing a number of different things. So his question is really a very valid one, because he knows that they've been to other places that he hasn't been, and he's gathering a little information because he wants to know what people out there are saying about what's going on. Now, we know that he's all-knowing, and he doesn't ask, but he wants them to tell him, okay? Are you with me? Now, read on. Well, they answered, and they said that some people say that you are John, the one who immerses people. Your version probably says John the Baptist, but that's what a Baptist does. He immerses people. And other people say you are Elijah. And some people say you are Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. So we've got a baptizer and we've got one fiery kind of prophet. And then we've got Jeremiah the weeping prophet, and or maybe one of the others was their response. So they'd heard multiple things. And Jesus says, but who do you say I am? That's really what he's interested in, isn't it? He wants to know what they think. What is their conviction? That's what he wants to know from you, my friend, is he wants to know what you think. He wants to know what you believe about him. Do you believe in him as the Son of the living God? Simon Peter answers and says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Upon this rock foundation, Jesus answered to Simon Peter, him, I will gather my family, those called out by God's word. Death will not overpower them. And blessed are you, Simon, son of John. My Father in heaven, not man, showed that to you. You are Peter. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will have already been bound in heaven. He wasn't giving Peter some power that, that was going to be surpassing any other person. He was simply giving him the freedom of preaching the truth about Jesus Christ. And he's going to deliver the first gospel sermon. You can read that over in the book of Acts. And then he's also the fellow who was chosen to carry that message first of all to what was known as the Gentile converts over in chapter 10 to Cornelius. So whatever you bind on earth will have already been bound in heaven, and whatever you loosen on earth will have already been loosened in heaven. Jesus warned his followers not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah or that he is the Messiah. And that was because it wasn't time yet. And as I've already said, I know that you're familiar with this passage. You've heard this one before. It's interesting in our own world today, after some 48 years of preaching, that's me, and that's up for debate, depending on who you talk to. Okay, Jim? Nothing. I don't want to hear nothing out of you down here, Jim. But some days are better than other days when you're preaching. We all know that. But the whole idea about preaching is not just to deliver a bunch of information to people, but that people can get enough information that can cause transformation. So that what's being said by the preacher causes people to make changes. Or, Chris, to keep your resolution. Or to find a way to hang on to some kind of the tenacity that Jesus had in order to keep his resolution to his heavenly Father to do what God sent him on earth to do. I have come to do the will of my Father. That's what Jesus said. And that's what he did. To find a little bit of smidgen of that kind of encouragement is one of the things that all of us look for. The world, of course, as you know, that we live in today, we are all faced with all kinds of choices all the time. In fact, you've already had this discussion. I've heard one in the foyer this morning already about where we're going to eat. I don't know where that thing ended up. I was going to try to follow them over there and see if they'd buy mine too. But we've got a lot of decisions to make in front of us. I travel quite a bit by airplane. They want to know if I want the window seat or the aisle. If you're going someplace else, they may want to ask whether you want to sit in the back or the front. If you're at the barbecue place, they want to know whether or not you want sweet or unsweet tea. If you're at McDonald's, they're going to say, you want to supersize that, dude? Look, can you take a look at this? It's already been supersized enough. You know what I mean? Leave me a beat. Will that be fries or baked? You want mustard, mayo, onions, pickles? Et cetera, et cetera. You get my drift. You can't go through our world anywhere, anytime, for anything, any place, without answering a whole lot of questions, because we've got all these choices out there. No wonder it is that so many people are under the impression that you can just pick where you want and that will be okay. But is that what God left us? Listen to this passage. This is a passage of Scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Write it down or go take a look at it later. You are a chosen generation or a chosen people, he says about them. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Joshua said it like this to his people. Now, you've probably taught your kids this. I've seen it in some of your homes. It's on your wall. It's a passage from the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua, verse 15, and I'll just cut it to the chase, just for time's sake, that simply says, as he said to them on that day to Israel, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, it isn't about us choosing something. It's God who's chosen us. This is hallelujah kind of stuff, folk. This is amen and things. It is God who chooses us. As a people, we don't choose him. We choose only to believe in him, that he is who he says he is, and that he will do what he says he will do. Well, out here in our foyer area, we have a statement on the wall. I'm hoping you've read it. It says, the South Main Church is a loving and a caring group of believers who accept the joy and the responsibility of carrying out the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. Then we listed about three things, and we all understand that that's a pretty generalized statement, but when you're making a theme statement like this or a mission kind of statement, you do want to be general so that you don't let anybody think you're leaving certain things out. But you see, the old idea, or the whole idea, is that we would be people who would seek out the folks who are lost, and help them to know what they need to do to be saved. Hello? Okay, amen, right? To be saved. Teaching the kingdom of God. That's what God, that's what Christ came to do, was to teach about His kingdom that was to come. As the writer over in Timothy, or 2 Timothy, has so aptly stated and said to us, that thou therefore, my son, that's what Paul called Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And see, the whole idea here is that we teach so others could teach, so they could teach, that they might teach, that everybody in the world might be a teacher. So you might learn about who Jesus is. That's the way it's supposed to work, right, Jim? That's the importance of the idea of understanding why this is so important that we grasp all of that. It's a wonderful thing. No, I'm not answering the phone. I'm looking at my notes here on my phone. I want you to understand that the church, which literally in the passage we read was talked about, was that which was represented in the people who were called out. That's really what that ekklesia word means, the called out folk. These are the folks that have been called together. That the church is a great blessing to anybody who comes in contact with it. At least that's what it's supposed to be. We're supposed to be blessing our community and the people around us so that they can know about God's eternal purpose. That's what the church is supposed to be about, because the church, you see, is eternal. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul. Chapter 3 of the book of Ephesians. This is verse 10 and following, just a few there. To the intent that now unto the principles and to the powers in the heavenly places we might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose of Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what we do, is that we are here to inform people of what the eternal purpose of God, that it might be made known. If you're reading it in the King James, it will say that you should be made known, that it would be made known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. Why? Because you see, the church is for eternity. That's because it came from a divine God. That's what Jesus came to do. That's what God sent Him to do. That's what He wanted for all of us to be able to know about it, so that all of the people might go to it. In fact, that's exactly what that all points toward. Not only is it a divine thing, but it is a human thing. That's the hard thing about it, isn't it? It'd be great if everybody in the church was divine. But you see, the thing is that everybody is human. Am I right about it? Are you still with me? Don't fall off. We're almost done. I know you know some of this, and that may be what makes you a little sleepy, but I want to remind you about how important it is that we remember this, that the church is the blessing of God because it is the eternal purpose of God, because it comes from the divine God, so that we humans might become like God. that it will be for all of the people, as Isaiah says in Isaiah 2, verses 1 through 4. Go read over there. See how it says, come and let us go up into the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, who will teach us his ways. What a great passage that is about the understanding of who God wants us to be and what he wants from us. Because you see, it's not only for all, but the idea of it is that it is the body of Christ, and therefore that makes us concerned about all others. How are we doing there? How are we doing there? See, our primary purpose and concern is to save the souls of mankind. We're here to give the message of Jesus. It's our job to remain focused. That's what Bobby was telling us this morning as we began, on Jesus and what his purpose is, so that mankind can be saved and God is ultimately glorified. It isn't about us. It's not about how many. It's about who. It's about you. So where are we? Well, hey, 930 baptisms right here in the prisons last year. That's where we are. Some 16 baptisms in the congregation over the last couple of years. About 10 to 12 memberships of those who have placed them here. We have new babies. I didn't count them all up, but I know there's at least 4. Oh, yes, we had some deaths. We always do. We get Ray to read our deaths for us. Now, you may think that sounds morbid. Hope not. It's a means of us remembering what they meant to us. I hope that you understand we read their names off, and we do that every year at the end of the year on the service, so that we remember the people who meant so much to us that we lost that year. I love that practice because that teaches us. In fact, we do that every Lord's Day, don't we? When we remember Jesus and what he means to us. Jim and Donna Smith, I know you know this, but I'm reminding you right down here. Jim and Donna Smith. Their ministry, I think, is now called the Gospel Sharing Ministry. Is that right? They changed the name of it. So I'm tough on remembering changes. But I'm trying to get that down. Did I get it right? Did I say it the right way? Gospel Sharing Ministry. They seek and save the lost. Okay. They're going to Alabama and Florida in the next month or two to train people how to do that. We help them to go. We want them to go. But when they get back, we're going to have the gospel sharing ministry in the month of March right here in Henderson, Texas, where we knock on doors and tell people about Jesus Christ. We hope you'll get involved in it with us. And that's just part of their schedule. They're going all over the place in several different mission points. They've got some 6 planned throughout the year. You want to do something for the Lord? Talk to Jim and Donna. They'd be glad to throw you in the trunk. Now, I'm kidding because they don't have a trunk. They either got a back of a motorhome or you're going to be in the back of that pickup. And if I were you, I'd go for the motorhome. But they'll show you what you can be done. They're going to spend an entire month in Pennsylvania training and teaching people. They're going to an area that where Rosemary and I both go in the Focus Northeast program. We have 3 campaigns planned for this year. One of them is in the Pennsylvania area. And that's a place that is losing three preachers, ministers from that area that have been there 15 years plus. It's really going to hurt them. I know it is. Because those guys are so well known. They're going to have to hire new guys and get new people to come in. That'll be tough. God will help us. But the gospel is being spread, is what I'm trying to say. They're putting on a training, I think, in another week or so in Mineola. If you want to go learn how to be trained to do some gospel work, go with Jim and Donna up to Mineola. They're going to hold a class up there. You just can't wait till they teach it here. Come go over there. Great opportunity. We have women's classes, ministries going on. Our latest one that I'm really tickled about is the blessing box. How many of you know about the blessing box? We can't keep that thing filled up. Every time we put something in there, somebody carries it off. That's just exactly what we want. Everybody says, well, aren't you afraid who takes it? Nope. Not in the least. I don't even care if they're taking it down the street and selling it at the local convenience store. If I catch them doing it, I'm going to get after them. But I'm telling you that people are being affected by this congregation in this community. We've got a food ministry that goes on over at the Henderson Inner City food ministry thing. David's over there every Wednesday. Travis goes along with him. They're asking Travis to take a couple of days off. They're tired. He wanted me to say that, okay? I'm telling you that if you're not involved in the activities of this congregation, it's because you've just missed a chance. There are all kinds of things for you to be doing because we are in our community, and we're taking the gospel to as many people as we come. Where are we headed? Well, that's all up to you. I guess I'm just saying to you today, will you help us? Will you just get on board and find your spot where you can get in? Because this is a working congregation. This is a good group of people. And we are touching the lives of many, many folks all around us. Not just in our community here. Throughout the United States and across the foreign seas. Find out about all of our missions. I haven't even mentioned some of our usual overseas missions. Go look them up and find out what they're doing. Great things are happening. Why don't you decide that today is the day I'm going to get involved and help us continue to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the state of this congregation. It's alive and well. You may look around and say, well, gee, I don't know if we're doing anything. Well, you better wake up because you're asleep. We're going right by you doing stuff. It's going on everywhere. We got mission folks sitting in here. Susan back there travels, that gets in the plane and goes all over the place. Folks, there's lots of things to be done. You want to help, get together with Stephanie Gooch. She'll put you to work. She'll see. She'll find something for you to do. You don't have to just sign up with me or David or one of the elders. Find the work that's going on and get involved. Why don't you come? You got a need today. While we stand and sing.